a couple of weeks ago, Donnie taught on trust, and trusting God. And I wasn't here for the fellowship, but I listened to Chris Rotano's teaching. And he taught on the goodness of God and how good God is and how all the awesome things that he's given unto us. And then Donnie taught on trust, and I had been rolling this thing around in my brain. I said, huh, this is just a great like follow-up to those two teachings. So you can take your Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 1. So I'm going to share on the word repent and the word think. And I grew up in a denomination where the word repent was, I didn't like the word because it was fire and brimstone. You know, but that's the way I grew up. I don't know about anybody else, but repent is actually an excellent word because it literally means to change. You know, that's what the word biblically means, repent. It means to change, and it's to, you know, to change, and it's to change one's mind for the better. So you have repent, to change one's mind for the better. So that's why kind of it's repent and think, because the two words are related, you know. But in Mark 1:15, and this is Jesus Christ talking, he says, and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. And then go to Acts chapter 17. Repent. To change one's mind for the better. Acts chapter 17. And this is Paul and I forget where he's at, but it's like where all the gods were and the unknown God. And he's preaching when he saw the unknown God. And that's what this record is dealing with. But in verse 30, it says, and the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. So what's God's heart? He wants all men to repent. Okay? So the word repent is to change one's mind for the better, and in Strong's topical, I'm going to read this to you because I thought it was a good description. Strong's topical definition of the word repent describes the decisive spirit-wrought turning of heart and mind that reorients a person from sin to God. Throughout the New Testament, it is never presented as mere remorse, but as a wholehearted response to divine truth that issues in faith, obedience, and fruit worthy of repentance. That's pretty awesome. You know, it's just to reorientate your mind and your heart to God and his word. So in Jeremiah, we're going to look at Jeremiah. Chapter 31. But repenting is that wholehearted response to, and it leads to divine truth that issues in faith, obedience, and fruit worthy of repentance. In Jeremiah 31. we're going to start in verse 31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of Egypt, which covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. That's a new covenant, and you know, it's referring, it's prophecy regarding Jesus Christ coming. is what this is about. But he said, I will write it in their hearts. And the word heart in Hebrew is lev, and it's not just your little heart in your body with muscle beating away, but it's the innermost part of your being. And we know that. The heart, even in the New Testament, it's the innermost part of your being. And this inner heart or core is the part of the person that must be transformed in repentance. And that's why Jesus Christ came, so that we could repent and believe on him. Verse 34, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. So repentance and heart are conceptually linked. The heart is the innermost part of your being, and repentance is the changing of that inner heart by thinking what God's word says and hiding it in our hearts. And let's go to Romans 2:4. I don't know if... I don't remember if Chris shared this about the goodness of God, but I like it. So, in the context of chapter 1, just so they understand this, this verse is all about how terrible and how evil everybody was. You know, you can read it if you want to. But in chapter 2 and verse 4, it says, Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? It's God's goodness that leads us to repentance. And good thing, too, because otherwise you probably never would have had any of us. But in Acts chapter 3... turn the pages here. Verse 19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. And Donnie taught on this about being blotted out. It just means wiped away, erased, gone. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And that word refreshing means relief, rest. That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. The times of refreshing, relief and rest. That our sins were blotted out. And that happened, when did it happen? For each one of us. Romans 10:9-10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart, there's that word heart again, that innermost part of your being, that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth the confession is made unto salvation. And, you know, we're made whole. You know, when we confess Romans 10:9-10, and that is the repentance, that our sins are wiped out, we receive Holy Spirit, we're made whole in every category of our lives. We're through body, soul, and spirit. Our sins are wiped out, and we receive whatever healing, complete healing that we need, whether it's physical, mental, whatever, financially, whatever it is, at the time of the new birth, that's what we get. That's the goodness of God. So, and you know, it has to do with heart, and it has to do with believing and repenting. We made that decision. It's like we were taught that, and we said, oh yeah, I want that, I believe that. And then it was in our heart, and God immediately changed us. So we still have our brains, and a lot of stuff in our brains, and that's where the thinking part comes in. So we're going to look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians Colossians chapter 3, verse 2 says, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. And the word affection in the Greek is the Greek word phronio and means think. Mm-hmm. So set your thinking on things above, not on things of the earth. And this word, it does literally mean to think, and it's to think what you set your heart on, what you're thinking. You set your heart on that. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to set our thinking on things above and not on things in the earth. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Everybody knows this verse too. Verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And the word mind here is phronio. It's to think, it's to set your heart on. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So, anybody, who can tell me what was Christ's mind like? Give me examples.
Oh, he did the will of the Father.
That's right. Mm-hmm. What else? Was he forgiving?
Yeah.
Was he loving? Was he kind? Did he pray? Did he minister healing to people? This was the mind of Christ. He always did the Father's will. And that's what God wants for us. Let this mind be you, which is also in Christ Jesus. So you have the heart, the innermost part of your being. You have repentance, which is a changing of that heart. And then you have the putting on of the Word of God in your mind to the point that it gets into your heart. You're setting your heart upon it. And so when you see the goodness of God and you trust God and you believe it and you get it in your heart, and then you start manifesting it. And really, it's like the renewed mind. And you're putting off the old and putting on the new in your brain and in your mind until it gets into your heart. And there's many places in the Word of God, then great examples of it. Romans chapter 12, Ephesians 4, Colossians 3. But we're going to look at 1 Thessalonians. Because it was something I read, and it just really knocked my socks off when I saw it. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we're going to start in verse 9. It says, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as you also do. So God wants us to comfort ourselves and each other and to edify each other. Verse 12, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them that labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. You know, God's, you know, telling us and beseeching us to know those who take care of the body of Christ, those who lead, or anybody that takes care of the body of Christ and admonishes you. And the word admonish means to instruct or warn, you know. And I think that's pretty cool. Verse 13, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. So he wants us to comfort, he wants us to edify us, he wants us to recognize and admonish, and to love each other, and to be at peace among ourselves. Verse 14, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them, same word, admonish, instruct them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, uphold them, support the weak, uphold them, help them, and be patient toward all. It's a great thing to be patient. And I think about God's infinite patience with me, you know, because I usually tell him, I said, yeah, you gotta hit me over the head with a sledgehammer, you know. Verse 15, see that none render evil for evil unto any, you know, but ever follow that which is good both among yourselves and to all. among ourselves and to all. That means Joe Schmo, the guy that cut you off, you know, that does stupid stuff in his car. And, you know, the person in the grocery line in front of you is crabby or whatever. But that's what God is telling us to do. See none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all. Rejoice evermore. I looked up the word rejoice. So I didn't really, couldn't give you a definition. If somebody said, what does rejoice mean? But rejoice evermore, rejoice at all times. And the word rejoice means calmly happy, well off. That's what Strong said. Then it says, pray without ceasing. Pray constantly. You can pray with your understanding. You can speak in tongues. But to pray constantly. Verse 18, in everything give thanks. You know, and how many times do we see that in the Word, you know? There's a, in Psalm, it's, I think 31, it says, I will give thanks to God all the days of my life, you know. And that's pretty cool. You know, be thankful. Be thankful for all that God has done for us, the goodness of God. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Donnie went over this verse. Extinguish. That's what quenches. Extinguish not the Spirit. Don't extinguish that Spirit that God's given you. Despise not prophesying. And this, it says, it's in the plural here. So that includes the whole Word of God, because the Word of God is all prophecy. Okay? Despise not prophesying. And the prophecy of prophets, people, you know, who are prophets in the Old Testament, we see a lot of them. There are still people that, you know, in the New Testament that were prophets. And the manifestation of prophesying in the church, you know, despise none of those, you know. And I often think about that Spirit that God gave unto us and the manifestations of the Spirit. And, you know, I know that I'm good with speaking in tongues, interpretation tongues, and prophesying. I want to be good at all of it, you know. I want to be good at all of it because that God gave that to us to be able to bless people and to walk and talk with Him, you know. And really, I want to get to the point where I can excel in that, you know, along with not despising prophesying. Verse 21. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. And the word prove means to examine and test to the point that you consider that it's genuine. Prove all things. That you examine. You know, you go to the Word of God and you prove it. You prove it in your own life. You know, is it genuine? Yes, it is. And does it work? Yes, it does. You know, so prove all things, hold fast, cleave that which is good. Hold fast to it. Hold on to it. Don't let it go. You know, I mean, in Isaiah, you know, God tells us, I don't know the chapter and verse, but that He'll hold us by the right hand. And so one time I was sharing, talking about that particular verse, and the woman I was sharing it with was a Christian, and she said, yeah, and I pray, God, don't let me let go. Don't let me let go. And I thought that was just terrific, you know, because we do let go. She said, help me not to let go. You know, hold fast. Hold fast to the Word that you know. Verse 22, abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 24, faithful is He that calleth you, who will also do it. God is faithful. If He says He's going to do it, He'll do it. He's faithful. He's faithful to perform His word, and He won't withhold any good thing from us. And what He says He will do, He will do. What He says He will do, He is able to do. And we can rest in that. We can rest in the his faithfulness of his word and his performance of his word. And so it's we're going to close in Psalm 51, but you just can see the relationship between heart, repenting, and thinking what God's word says, so that it gets into your heart. Psalm 51. I'm going to close here. Verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And I love this verse. I have it in a picture hanging in my kitchen. And the word create is bara. It's the same word that God used in Genesis when he created the heavens and the earth. But in this context here, it says create, but it's personal renewal, revealing that only God can regenerate the human heart. Man can't create, but because we can't create it, God can regenerate the human heart and create that spiritual transformation. And that spiritual transformation remains grace grounded. That spiritual transformation that God can do in our hearts is grace grounded. And we live in the age of grace. And it says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And the word renew is to repair or to restore. God could do that. Yeah. And the word spirit, it's a figure of speech, meaning for the whole character. God can regenerate and repair our hearts and our character. He will help us to do that. And that, I love this because we can't do this by ourselves, but God will help us to do this. And he's ever present and to help in time of need. And so that's what I wanted to share.